Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here. Welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm here with our co-host, Coach Nick. Nick, how are you doing today?
Hi Coach Steve, I'm really, really, really good. How about yourself?
I'm well. And I'm excited, Nick. We are on episode number 44 of the Challenge Weekly Show. And it is also week four of the challenge. So 4-4, 4-4, it's exciting times in the challenge. We are now officially over halfway of this November challenge.
And that is for sure.
For sure. Four to the floor, you are sure.
Oh, I love four to the floor. That's right.
Well, look, Nick, in this week of the challenge, we're over halfway. It's exciting times like always, but now, you know, we are moving into the tail end of the challenge. Can you believe that? You know, only 3 weeks down, moving on to week four, we're moving into the tail end of the challenge. And now is the time where we can start seeing some changes, not only in our body, not only in our routines, but then also in your nutrition template. So, as of this week, you'll have the option to further reduce your caloric intake. That's based off of a time metric. So based about how many days are left in the challenge, there's a little feature that turns on. And what you can do is on your nutrition template, if you have chosen the fat loss option on your nutrition template, you can go to the top right corner of the nutrition template and now tick a box and you can further reduce your calories by 10%. Now, who is this for? So some individuals, we hope many individuals out there, are consistently losing weight every single week at a rate of about 0.5 to 1% of their body weight every single week. If you're there and you have gotten to week four now and you're not seeing any changes, you haven't lost any weight, you can confidently put your hand up and say, Steve, I have seen absolutely zero changes in my body. If that's you, that's okay. This is the option for you. You spent 3 weeks in trialing the nutrition template. You spent 3 weeks in training, building up your step counts, working on your intensity in the gym and working on the habits around your lifestyle. And now it's that option to reduce your calories if it's required. Now, this isn't just for everybody. So if you're losing weight comfortably at, you know, 0.5 to 1% of your body weight every week, great. This isn't for you. It will probably suck if you reduce your calories. You're just hungry. Like, why would you do that, right? It's for that individual who is not losing any weight. So is that option? You can just tick that box and the program will do it for you. It will just reduce the portion sizes slightly by about 10%. And then that can further support our weight loss endeavors in the challenge.
So yeah, it's a handy box to have, but just make sure that you're not ticking it without thinking it through.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't want to reduce our calories if we don't have to. Like, we kind of want to, we want to eat. We like eating food. I think when you kind of starve, when you're going through a weight loss program, that's when it kind of sucks, right, Nick?
Yeah, absolutely. And it just also means that your body is going to be so sensitive to when you reintroduce more calories, which you will, because you cannot live your life like that. So it's actually better to go slower, and, you know, then you're not necessarily just going to be losing muscle as well, because that's what the first thing that our body wants to lose. So absolutely, not for everyone.
Not for everybody. Nick, if you have completed the challenge prior to this 6 week challenge, so in the August challenge and now this November challenge, we've tested the 6 week challenge with some pretty awesome results. But then prior to the 6 week challenge, we were running 12 week challenges, and we are going to reintroduce the 12 week challenge in 2022 in January. However, in that 12 week challenge, we ran four week blocks. So each 4 weeks, there was modifications to the nutrition plan, modifications to the training plan, because it fit in nicely, 3-4 week blocks for the challenge. Now with the 6 week model, we couldn't do 3 2 week blocks, because you go in and run, the first week of your training program, you're figuring out what weight to do a, you know, Bulgarian split squat with. And then the week after that, you might do, you know, a little bit more weight. And then the week after that, you're going to go change your program. It doesn't work very well. So we have run a 6 week program, and you'll find on your both training and nutrition template that there isn't a lot of change over that 6 week period. We are suggesting that we follow the same training program over 6 weeks, which is one meso cycle, and the same nutrition plan over 6 weeks, which again will be one meso cycle. If you're there scratching your head going, well, Steve, I can't possibly eat the same thing for 6 weeks or train the exact same way for 6 weeks. The first thing I'd say is I would like to challenge you in having that bit of structure and following the same plan for 6 weeks. You'll get really good at doing that plan for 6 weeks, and you'll just get better at doing that plan for 6 weeks. However, if you need, with a capital N-E-E-D, some change, some variety in your life, that's okay. You can make some minor modifications. So on the nutrition plan, you could change literally every single cell on that nutrition template, every single food item. And, you know, there will be literally almost infinite amounts of different combinations that you can make in that nutrition template by changing a few food groups. When it comes to training, I wouldn't recommend that you change too many exercises. Realistically, you know, if you change a dumbbell bicep curl to a barbell bicep curl, like you could make those changes every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks. Not a big deal when we're changing some small exercises to do a similar movement. If you were going to change something like a front squat to like a leg press, yeah, okay, we're starting to get really big changes. We wouldn't be wise to make those changes every other week. However, those small changes, maybe changing some apparatuses or changing the position of our body for some exercises, they could be reasonable changes to make every, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. So if you're in a period now where you're kind of getting a little bit stale with your training program, maybe because you're not finding much progress, maybe because you're limited by your environment or whatever reason it is, feel free to make some very minor changes. I would recommend no more than maybe one exercise per workout, because the idea of the training program is that we're doing that exercise and then getting better with that exercise over time. Okay.
That's right. My favorite thing to say when people ask questions about this is it's essentially 6 sessions of every day. That's all it is. Each day is 6 sessions. So it's not really something that you need to worry about changing. I'd change other things like your activewear every day if you want to vary something up.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think it is important to consider that we are trying to train our body. Just like, let's say, basketball, a basketball player would train the free throw, right? They're going to go onto the court, stand on the free throw line, and then shoot some hoops, and then they're going to train that movement. And we're trying to do the exact same thing with our body. We're trying to train the squat. We're trying to train the push-up. We're trying to train the bicep curl, right? We're trying to train our body to do that movement and elicit a response from our body to get better at that movement, to grow muscle through that movement pattern. Where we kind of fall short is when individuals maybe have been doing lots of boot camps or doing lots of group fitness classes with that idea that we're trying to work out, and that workout needs to be something different every single time, where, you know, that's a workout. It's a great way just to expend energy, but you're not necessarily training, you're not necessarily building, you're not necessarily getting better at something. So don't fall into that trap of just doing workouts, because that just leads to nothing. We want to train our body so we can actually build something out of it. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. You want to be able to measure what is actually working for you. Like if you start to get some development somewhere, you can actually confidently say it must be those squats. You know, well, otherwise if you mix it up all the time. Yeah. I mean, are you sick of squats yet?
No.
No, neither am I. So I just don't think I could ever. Every time I go and squat, I'm excited about doing it. So there's something to be said for consistency. There's so much other stuff going on in the world, you know, that it's really just nice to know that your gym program's the same, I think. You know, and that you can progress within that. But I love it. I could just eat the same thing every day as well. So, you know.
Nick, squats for breakfast is what I say.
Yep. Yep. Love them.
Okay. Now, Nick, we are coming into week 4. So week 6 is going to creep up into us very soon. And it's time for us to think about our final photos. Okay.
Yes.
Ooh. Yes. Now, if you have never completed a challenge with us before, not sure what to do with your final photos, I am going to recommend you check out some of the previous top 10 finalists, and you can find them on the challenge website. So you can go under resources, previous top 10s, and you could see some of their final photos that they completed. And you'll find that in the top 10, many of those individuals took some time to think about their final photo. Maybe they took it in the same spot as they took their first photo. Maybe they cleaned up the background so there isn't, you know, dirty clothes on the ground or, you know, a bunch of mess in the background. They thought about the lighting. They thought about their tan. They maybe did a little bit of grooming for their body, wore some, you know, nice undergarments so that they can show the work that they've put in over the past 6 weeks. So think about some of these factors when you're taking your final photo. And if you're really in the running to get in that top 10, see what our previous top 10s have completed, because like what you say, Nick, success leaves clues.
Definitely, 100%. And I know that it's very important to reveal your hard work as well. So don't hide it underneath a giant pair of board shorts or anything like that. It's time to show it off.
Yes, because we like quads. So show us your thighs.
Everybody loves quads. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
And finally, Nick, let's talk about our awards night. So the awards night for this November challenge, we did have to change it around a little bit, Nick. So we will be running our awards night on a Wednesday. Mm. That's going to be Wednesday, the 22nd of December. Okay. Yep. Now, we couldn't run it on the Friday because that would have been Christmas Eve. And I don't know about you, Nick. I've got a few things on Christmas Eve, and probably not fair to invite individuals all across Australia to join us on Christmas Eve to watch the awards night. So we're going to run it on Wednesday, the 22nd of December. And that's going to kick off at 7:30 p.m. Melbourne time. So if you're over in Perth or Queensland or Adelaide, just double check what the Melbourne time is for you if you want to join in live for the awards night. The awards night's a really fun event where we announce our top 10, our top three finalists. We've got our People's Choice Award and Community Award. So lots of awards to give out in the awards night. And this is all live streamed to our Facebook support group. And that Facebook social hub is a great space where many individuals will be watching live with you. And you probably even see some of the top 10s who don't know that they're in the top 10 commenting in the live event. Then you get to see some of their reactions when they find out that they're in the top 10, and of course announcing our top three finalists. So great event. Make sure you join us on Wednesday, the 22nd of December.
Yes, we will not sing any carols.
No. And I will sort out the drum roll situation again.
Yeah, we'll work that out. And that's the eternal drum roll situation. Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. It'll be a really great time of year to have that celebration as well. And then we can all have a bit of a break before we start the next challenge. Well, you and I won't have that much of a break because we've got to make sure it's the best challenge ever.
It is. It's going to be. So that's right, Nick. So we are starting the next challenge in January, and it's more towards the end of January. So that is one just to give us a couple of weeks off, Nick. So we just take that Christmas period and that first couple of weeks off in January, and then we come back in, we set the website up, we finalize all the plans, get everything up and running, and then we're good to go. And we find that many individuals in the past when we run the challenge take January off. So they would take some time to spend it with their families. They're going camping, they're going overseas, they're doing, holiday things. And when we start the challenge in that mid-January period, we find many individuals aren't ready to take on the challenge. So this is why we start it towards the end of January, usually around that Australia Day kind of period. Okay, not Australia Day, but usually around that time. So lots of information that's still in 2022. So you will definitely know what's happening come January challenge.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. And it is good that you and I are having a couple of weeks off, because imagine the ideas that we're going to come up with. Even like usually if I have, say, one day off, I suddenly come up with all these ideas. So look out, everybody. My brain will be fresh. As coaches, you need to look after yourself as well so you can give the best to every single person. So a couple of weeks off will be nice. A brain deload.
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
No, you'll be making up spreadsheets and things.
Probably
about baby George. If it's not about
this. It's his first Christmas, Nick. It's gonna be exciting. Yeah, that's maybe so Santa cool. will come if he's lucky. If he's been a good boy.
So sweet. Oh, that'll be lovely. So, yeah, you'll be busy.
I'm starting to grow out my beard for my Santa suit.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Does it take a while to grow all the way to Santa length?
No. This is a week's of growth, Nick. It's my inner Arab genes coming through, a week's worth of growth. And I reckon, yeah, I'll be Santa. And I got a few gray hairs coming through, some sparkles, as Laura points out to me. So I reckon I could go full Santa. I just need to do a pretty dirty bulk next month or so. And I reckon I'll be full Santa mode.
You can be full Santa mode. I thought you were going the opposite. I thought you were doing a mini cut or something. So.
I am. But I reckon a little mini bulk first, then a mini cut. And Santa in, Santa out is what we like to say, right?
The Santa exit strategy.
you exit getting ready for Easter because the eggs are there, right?
Well, I'll provide the Easter bunny stuff because, you know, we live and breathe bunnies in my household. So I'm all over the Easter bunny.
So you're set for Easter and I'll do Christmas. We're done. That's it. All over. That's all it. Right. Nick, let's move on to our non-scale victories for the week. So we love our non-scale victories. A great way to look at the wins, the victories, the successes in our lives that might not be related to the challenge, that might not be related to the scales, might not be related to this fitness thing that we're all trying to do. So Nick, take us away. What non-scale victories have you found this week?
Well, the first one I found was from Justin Taylor. And to be honest, I don't think he really listed this as an NSV, so it's a bit cheeky, but I quite like it because he mentions being inspired by something. So I'll just read it to you and we'll see. So he said, "Good morning, everyone. I sometimes get home from work, sit on the end of the bed and say, I can't be bothered working out, but my motivation has to be stronger than your excuses. So motivation has to be stronger than your excuses. A while back, I watched a doco on Ronnie Coleman, the King. He's a legendary bodybuilder. It's a great doco on Netflix. It inspired me as he's on crutches and still gets up and trains. So I just like this because occasionally I will watch a little documentary if I need a little bit of a spark and something like that, or a CrossFit documentary, anything where athletes are working and you can see their dedication. It's pretty cool. So I just love that as a little bit of an NSV, just something to think of if you need a little bit of just a pep. It's watching others train is good. Yeah,
I agree. And all I'll say is, woo, lightweight, baby.
There you go.
If anybody knows what I'm talking about with Ronnie, it's a pretty famous little film clip of Ronnie when he's about to lift and he's like, lightweight, baby.
Oh my God.
Like, ain't nothing but a peanut.
He honestly, if there's anybody that's ever dedicated every second of their life to the gym, it's Ronnie Coleman. And I mean, goodness me, the stuff that he's put his body through, it's amazing. But yeah, everybody should check that documentary out. I reckon it's really cool.
All I'd say about Ronnie is that it can be polarizing for some individuals who look at Ronnie and being such a big guy. He's probably like the biggest bodybuilder ever to step up on stage. You know, him next to Jay Cutler, just iconic kind of image of the two of them together. And for some people who may look at a bodybuilder and go, ill gross, maybe too much muscle, ill. Mm-hmm. Maybe some guys be like, oh, I don't want to look like that. Or girls be like, oh, that's not attractive. You know, it's not about that. It's not about being attractive. It's about, you know, the art that comes from bodybuilders. And, you know, Ronnie was a mix of freaky genetics, freaky hard work, and just insane intensity with everything that he did around bodybuilding. And that goes and shows. And he is really like the greatest of all time. And he is a mass monster. And, you know, there won't be anybody like him for a really long time. And we are so much more advanced with everything from training and, you know, all the fun supplements that they take and all the bits and pieces that are in there. But yeah, Ronnie, absolutely amazing. So go check out his documentary. Interesting guy to listen to, but just a mesmerizing person. So Ronnie the King, what a guy is all I'll say.
Awesome. Yep, agreed. All right, so the next one we've got is Michelle Benjack, and this one's an NSV. She says, woohoo, like Homer, woohoo, NSV today. I have joined the 100 club in deadlifts. So, of course, I had to read that out because anytime anyone joins 100 club, yeah. New PB. I'm super stoked after injuring myself in the last 12-week challenge. I've been slowly building my strength back. And with a 7.5 kilo increase, I'm ecstatic. I'm progressing. What a way to kick off a Friday. So, yes, she smashed her PB. Her mind is clear and in a good space. So, she had some bad news as well. So it's really good sometimes to sort of when you're deadlifting, especially, or you're doing anything like that, in that one moment, nothing else exists. So it's just you versus that barbell. And even if there's a lot of crap going on outside of it, you know that you can achieve that one thing and you've achieved it. So it's always fantastic. So well done, Michelle. Welcome to the 100 Club. Now, you can never lift anything less, although you should. That's bad advice, bad Coach Nick. But yes, 100, fantastic.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Team 100, team triple digits.
Yep, love it, love it. I was going to say, now you have to lift it with a double overhand grip, no chalk. All good. Okay, so the next one we've got is Renee Fitzgerald and Eve Alicia. Now, I have actually combined these two I'm just going to sort of generalize it, but they both had these outfits that they've achieved already fitting back into. So one of them had a dress and there was another outfit, and I think it was a pair of shorts, and I just thought, how wonderful is that, that you are just measuring it by your clothing, the way that your clothing fits. So if you are changing shape, something's happening. You know, doesn't really matter what the scale says in terms of that, although the scale is important data. But if you are fitting into things that you've always wanted to fit into, that is an NSV to the max. So well done. Well done, you two, Renee and Eve.
NSV to the max and Maxine.
Yeah, and that's right. That's right. It's an MNSV.
MNSV, I love that. Mm-hmm. Look, Nick, I've found a couple here. So the first one found on the journal, and it goes out to Nicole Hasten, and she has written that she has two NSVs. The first one is that she's increased her step count and aimed to do 100,000 steps over the course of the week. I love that. I just wanted to comment on that firstly. Yeah. Some individuals, we get caught up on the daily step counts, where we want to hit maybe 10,000 steps per day, which is cool, which is awesome. But, you know, some days are tough. Some days, you know, we've got 100 million things going on and, you know, our step count is only at maybe 3,000 steps. Oh, geez, is today a failure? Who knows? What might be better is to look at our weekly step counts. So if you did 10,000 steps every day, 70,000 steps in a week, and then maybe your goal is to do something like Nicole is, where she's trying to step 100,000 steps in a week, which maybe she does 10,000 steps Monday to Friday. That's, you know, 50,000 steps. And then on Saturday and Sunday, she aims to do maybe 25,000 steps. So she gets 100,000 steps over the week. So I love that one, Nicole, firstly, and she's increased her step count and aiming to get 100,000. That's awesome. And then secondly, she has written that she's a type 1 diabetic on insulin pump therapy, who now has better blood glucose levels, or BGL readings. Awesome. The slow, steady state cardio, walking her steps, has been has left a very positive impact to her blood glucose readings. A 45-minute to 1-hour walk can reduce her blood glucose levels by up to 4 millimoles per liter. This is a huge win. It means she's better in control of her diabetes, and it reduces the amount of insulin that she needs, which is awesome. So congratulations, Nicole. I'm glad that your increase in step count is leading positive changes to your life. It's good.
That's so brilliant. Walking for the win. I love that. Very
respect,
good.
Respect the steps, they say.
Yeah, that's right. I agree. Respect the steps. Steps respect.
The next one here goes to Kim Horsey, and again, found this one on the journals, and she writes, NSV in a big way today. I bought these overalls online about 2 years ago and they never fit me. I could not even pull them up over my thighs. I thought I could never get to wear them and had even contemplated sending them back to the op shop. I'm so glad I didn't. With 3 weeks ago in the challenge, I'm even more motivated now. Cheers, Kimba. Congratulations, Ooh. Kim. That's awesome, man. I'm glad that you kept those overalls. And it sounds very similar to Renee and Eve, who were able to fit in some clothes that you weren't able to fit in before.
Very good. Very, very good. I'm going to have to go and look those overalls up and have a look, have a bit of a squiz. So I shall do that after this podcast and have a look at Kim in her overalls.
Very well cool. Done. And the last one here goes out to Tracy Morgan. Tracy Morgan on the journals as well. And she writes that she's been having some challenges with her environment, where some individuals who were doing the challenge with her have fallen off the wagon and have been binge eating. She says that it's much harder to stay on track with a lot of food temptations at home. Work has been especially stressful in the past 2 weeks. I am so proud that I haven't come home and had a glass or two of wine to de-stress on particularly bad days. So I love this from Tracy, where, you know, she's facing some challenges in her immediate environment, in her home environment, where some individuals are binge eating, eating foods that, you know, may not be supportive of the challenge. She's got lots of temptations around her. She's really stressed at work. And her victory is that she hasn't given into temptations. She hasn't come home and had those glasses of wine, and she's stayed on track with the challenge. So congratulations to Tracy. You know, that's that. I'm really proud of you, and I'm sure you're an inspiration to many individuals on the challenge at the moment.
Me too. I think that's amazing, because when your environment isn't absolutely optimal, it can be so easy to just adopt the characteristics of those around you. And it's just an extra challenge that you have to, you know, face. And if you can do it like Tracy and be aware of it as well, and even acknowledge that that is something that is challenging for you, then you are winning. So that is really good.
I love that.
Nick, well done.
Let's move on to our coach's corner for the week.
Mm.
Now, I've got a fun one this week. Often we would speak about our tip for the week, but this week my tip is that I would like everyone to get to know us a little bit better. So let's go through a very short question and answer. We've got 10 questions here about Coach Nick and I, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fitness related, and you're going to get to know us a little bit better. So Nick, my first question to you, if you could invent something in the fitness industry, what would you invent?
I would probably invent a scale that said to somebody when they stepped on it, do not worry about this today, you are on the right track. I think
I like that.
Something like that would be really good. It doesn't have to say that, but maybe something like an unemotional scale, or where it sends your readings to just somewhere, and then you can look at it at the end of the week. So if you're feeling, if you wake up feeling awesome, you don't let anything worry you, but you've still got that data, because we still need data. How about you?
I like that. A little bit of a spin on what you just said. What if there was like food scales that automatically measured your food?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's say you had like a batch of rice, and it would measure out your different servings of rice for you. So you don't have to sit there and like get each little grain of rice, and it does it all for you. I think that'd be really cool.
Oh, wow. So we both come up with these scales that do certain things. So maybe we can pitch it to Max and Maxine's headquarters and get some of these scales happening.
They'll start with a prototype and hopefully they scale it up.
Yep. Got it. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. All right. I like it, Nick. Okay. Question number two, Nick. What's your proudest fitness achievement?
Okay. So I think for me, above everything that I've done in the whole wide world, it's just becoming a strong badass in the gym. Like being able to walk into a gym, assess the situation and go, oh, yeah, like if I need to, I'm a bit strange. Even if there's one person in there, I'm like, I could lift more than that person. So even if it's like somebody who's cleaning the machine, I just have an issue. I'm a bit competitive. So I just love the fact that I've built my strength up enough to be able to walk in anywhere, chalk up and know that I can lift heavy things, heavy objects, and not injure myself and know my way around a gym. So I'd say out of everything, because that's not something that was just for a day. That's like a lifetime thing. So I like that.
I like that. Yeah.
How about you?
It's funny. Like I was thinking about some of the cool fitness things that I've done, you know, like say like a bodybuilding show, a marathon, these types of things. And of course, you know, Nick, you've done triathlons and Ironmans and bodybuilding power, all the things. And we're definitely proud of those things. But it's funny, similar to you, like I personally am proud that like I have the skill set to be able to control my body composition. Okay. And this is a little bit of a personal thing. Like me growing up as a teenager, I was like the overweight kid. I was like quite large, overweight, really self-conscious, not confident talking, and all these things in between. But now I have the skills to be able to control my body composition to a point where I can actively choose. All right, I'm going through a mass phase, and then I can choose. I'm now going through a leaning phase, and these are choices that I make. And I'm very proud of that, where I have the skills to be able to control that. And ultimately, my body composition is a reflection of, you know, like my confidence in life, in the challenge, in public speaking, all these things. So I guess that's probably like my proudest thing. Yeah.
See how it's not, it's funny, it never comes down to one day, even though you might work forever for that one day. It's more the collective experience in your life that one day does, or you know, that the power, the knowledge that having dieted down or spent some time in a surplus gives you ultimately to empower yourself for your whole life, isn't it?
Yeah. I like that.
Nick,
the next one here is, who or what is your favorite Instagram account?
Okay, so like in terms of active wear, I know that that's not an inspirational, but I've got to say, like, I love all the active wear Instagram accounts, as in like I'm a bit addicted to active wear, so I love a good rider wear, or I mean, I like One More Rep that we partner with, obviously. But in terms of an Instagram account that I will look at for info, I like Holly Baxter, who is married to Lane Norton, but she's actually a scientist in her own right. She's also a pro WBFF bodybuilder. So she has some really good information, especially around women's health and training. And she also lifts really heavy and, you know, consistently, and they're very very interesting with their diet advice. And I really enjoy her. How about you?
Very cool. Very cool. I am a sucker for a meme page.
Yep.
I'm a sucker for Instagram meme pages. And for me, like one of my big hobbies, of course, is fitness. And then also one of my big interests are like physical therapy as well. So I do follow a lot of fitness and physical therapy meme pages. So for example, like subpar powerlifting memes, certified personal truths, functional memeology. It always cracks me up. Dr. Spansky, who's from Renaissance Periodization, the meme doctor, he calls himself. He makes a lot of memes as well. So I'm a big sucker for a meme page. But I guess my favorite account to kind of follow is someone like Mike Israetel, similar to Holly Baxter. Lots of good information. You'll also crack a few jokes. You post some training videos and other bits and pieces. So it's a mixture of like personal things about him, plus some good content as well. And I think he's also a big cracker. He makes me laugh. So go check out Dr. Mike Israetel as well. I like that.
Very good.
Next question here, Nick, is what is your favorite podcast?
Oh, so I've got so many because I drive around a fair bit. So it depends what I'm going for at the time. So I'm just looking at my list. So there's heaps and heaps of ones all about competing. So just my top ones, I've got Confessions of a Bikini Pro. I've got Mind Muscle Project. I've got the Tim Ferriss Show in there. I've got 3D Muscle Journey. I've got the Pro Physique Code. I really am digging Dr. Andrew Huberman at the moment. So like that's a little bit more kind of deep diving into scientific stuff. Just trying to catch up with you there, Steve, because you know he's talked about ice therapy and all sorts of stuff like that. And I'm really excited to announce that it may not be as necessary as what they sometimes say. We can discuss that another time, but I love it because I hate ice. Give me hot anytime. So yeah, how about you?
Yeah, I'd agree. Ice is a waste of time. But no, so for me, I probably two that I follow quite closely is first Stronger by Science. So that's the guys from Stronger by Science, but you've got Eric Trexler and Greg Knuckles. Very like science-based fitness space with lots of jokes and funny things in there as well. So I do like the guys there. And then also I like the Iron Culture podcast as well by Eric Helms, who also does the 3DMJ podcast, and Omar Ozluf. And again, they're really sarcastic, lots of satire, lots of fitness jokes, then lots of evidence-based stuff as well thrown in there as well. So they're probably the two podcasts that I listen to and follow the most. Yeah.
I love podcasts that give you good information, but they don't always take themselves too seriously, because you know, sometimes it's just good to also have a bit of a laugh, because it's not everything's too serious. You can you know, take in information and also enjoy it.
Yeah, so that's like what I hope.
Deliver it that way.
That's what I hope this podcast is. Hey.
Oh, that's us. Like, obviously.
Oh, obviously, Nick.
Oh, like we're not. We're funny. We're very funny. Thank you very much.
All right, Nick. This is probably the most important question. Mm-hmm. Question number 5: are you team squats or team deadlifts?
All right. So I've got to say deadlifts. I have to. I think that deadlifts are like my entire reason for being in this world. Even though I'm not really supposed to. I mean, I can do them. Like, I have to do them. I love them, but. Yeah, they're not necessary for physique development, necessary, you know, for what I probably need to develop. But if someone took them away from me, I would just secretly do them. So I love them.
I like that. I'm actually team squats at the moment.
Yep.
I fluctuate between the two. And if anything, now I'm actually kind of more in team bench press at the moment. Yeah. So like my legs training, I've lowered the volume down to maintenance. And really upped my upper body training. So I'm really trying to get that 150 on the bench press, battling with that guy. So yeah, at the moment I'm actually team like squats. And if anything, I don't do many deadlifts at the moment. So I've only got, I know. I've got one exercise, which is a deadlift, a stiff-legged deadlift. And that's not even that heavy. So I'm not doing many deadlifts. So don't shoot me, but I am team squats in the moment.
No, that's good. I mean, you do, it does change. And I'm actually really enjoying bench pressing at the moment too. So, and that's for the first time ever that I actually enjoy it. So I know where you're coming from. Do you find that you've, you know, how your quads going now that you're not doing, you know, as much, I suppose, you know, deadlifting is a leg movement, a press, you know, do you find now that you've lowered your leg training volume, has anything happened to your quads, or are they still quads of the gods?
They're still there. If anything,
they haven't gone.
So by lowering volume, I'm still training them to a pretty high intensity, but I'm just doing fewer sets, fewer exercises for my legs. But then they're not going anywhere. So maintenance would be like maintaining my legs. I'm not in a like growing phase for them. So no, they're not going anywhere. They're there. They're doing their thing. It's nice to not train them to a point where I like want to, I feel really ill after training my legs.
Yeah.
And really trying to push my bench press. That's fun.
Excellent. Well, that's
but I think good. That kind of highlights, Nick, that, you know, your goals can change over time. Like, just because you are married to the deadlift, it doesn't need to be something that you do forever in a day. It can, you know, fluctuate and change, and, you know, you go through different phases, because once you're in this advanced area, you know, you can't expect to continue to see growth on everything all the time. You do need to kind of start to, you know, specialize, focus on certain areas so that you get better there, and then maintain other areas, because it's not going away. Like, just because you don't, you know, deadlift 200 kilos every single session doesn't mean that you can't do that. You can go back and do that eventually, and that's okay.
That's exactly the perfect answer, because I mean, I think I spent maybe a year and a bit not deadlifting, and I walked in and just deadlifted exactly the same as what I'd done in that time. And I think that was really good for me to learn that I didn't have to do that all the time. You know, you can take some time away from that stuff, and you've still got it once you built that good foundation. It doesn't go anywhere.
No. Okay, Nick, the second most important question, other than team squats or team deadlifts, question number 6: what is your favorite muscle to flex?
If you were going to look at my Instagram, you might say like glutes, but then to be honest, TBH, I love showing my abs. I love that. But at the moment, I have to say I'm a bit of a shoulder person because I'm finally getting those 3D delts. So it's like any opportunity that I have. So let's just go shoulders. Yeah, how about you?
I like that. I might not have a muscle that I like to flex. There's kind of like two bodybuilding poses that I like to do. Mm-hmm. So first one is the front lat spread. You know, the mm-hmm. one where your hands on your hips, you spread out your lats. I always like that one. I'm a sucker for, you know, just before you have a shower, you're in the mirror and you're like, yeah, you know, yeah.
Of course.
So, yeah, you know, that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also the side chest. I do like a side chest, you know, side on. You're holding your wrist with one hand. You do a bit of a bicep flex and you flex your chest. I'm a sucker for that one. But look, at the moment, you know, I'm training my chest a lot, so that's a muscle that I like to flex, but previously I've always loved to flex my quads. It's always been a fun one.
Yeah I would
naturally too. You got to flex your quads, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, look, I love because quads are hard to develop, so I love flexing the quads as well, especially like when they're looking huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's basically every body part. We both like just flexing everything all the time. And okay. I think you answered a question on the forum recently about flexing. And it's like flexing is actually a workout in itself. It's actually once like if you're practicing, you can get very, very puffed out.
Oh yeah.
It's quite extreme. Oh, yeah. So everybody
should practice. Well, Nick, you've done bodybuilding. When I was on stage, I won my competition. I think I won because I had more flexing stamina than my competitors. Because one thing I did almost every day was my flexing routine. Mm-hmm. And I got really good at flexing because that's what I practiced. And you're right, it's a full body workout because you're trying to literally contract the muscle as hard as you can for longer than a normal set. So yeah, it's definitely a workout. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you're really hungry at the very end of in a show and stuff, it really can, it can make or break you if you've got that control of your muscles and your physique and know how to present it. So mm-hmm. I suggest to everybody that you practice a little bit of that stuff because it mm-hmm. goes hand in hand also with feeling the muscles, especially say with lats and stuff, you know, doing a lat spread, because that really allows you to feel what's going on back there. Get it? Yes.
I like that. Nick, next question here is, what's on your workout playlist? What do you listen to when you're working out?
Look, I often am a bit of a podcast person when I'm working out. But if I have to be motivated, it's probably just to me, I mean, I'm old, but like I like 80s power ballads. So, you know, and I just love a bit of, I mean, I do like Metallica, believe it or not. I like Nirvana. I like Pearl Jam, like that kind of stuff. So just anything. The builder was playing that the other day at our house and I thought, oh, gosh, you know, you're my kind of builder. And then I looked at him and I'm like, he's old. And then I'm like, oh, my gosh, he must be my age. So
I like it.
Yeah.
For me, I'm generally listening to like some sort of rock. And mm-hmm. it's on two different spectrums. So I'm either listening to like more metal, so things like System of a Down, I guess I'm not really a big fan of like kind of like when the screamer comes on in some metal songs, mm-hmm. but anything with like a hard bass, I really enjoy that. You know, things like Disturbed and stuff, really like that. Or I'm listening to the other spectrum, which would be kind of like punk rock. So, you know, your Blink-182, Green Day, Panic at the Disco, that type of stuff. So often I'll go on somewhere like Spotify and go to like the genre and just play a playlist and it'll just play, you know, similar music to those two types of genres. But generally it's like some sort of rock music I'm listening to. I used to be a big sucker for R&B when I was a teenager, mm-hmm. but I think I kind of grew out of that phase. So I'm now a little bit into, a good guitar riff and a good bass. I'm good with that.
Oh, Green Day is excellent for spin as well. Doesn't matter. Yep. Yeah, every day, all day, Green Day.
Every day, all day, Green Day.
Do you know what? Right. At one point, we did a battle of the bands, and out of all the bands that we tested, it was over a matter of maybe about 8 weeks. We did heaps of bands. Queen won, and then Green Day came second. So out of all the bands in the whole wide world ever that we actually surveyed.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Probably wasn't all the bands, but yeah, big bands.
Big bands. Mm. All right, Nick. Question number 8, what's your favorite go-to meal?
Okay, so I am the most boring human being in the whole wide world, but like a go-to easy fail safe meal for me is purple sweet potatoes and chicken breast, or if I'm in a hurry, just a chicken from the supermarket that I will unskin, and then just take the skin off and just eat it like that with some salad. Very, very boring, but very satisfying, delicious, and never get sick of it.
I like it. For me, I'm a sucker for tuna, rice, and coleslaw.
Yep. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, you go to Coles, you grab a tin of tuna, a little instant pack of rice, mm-hmm. and then like a $2 ready pre-made coleslaw bag, shove it all into one big bowl and gobble it up. You know, there's about 500 or so calories and you're set. So, yeah, that's my go-to.
Notice how we both said, you know, something that we can grab from the supermarket and shove with something else. So neither one of us are having sophisticated recipes and things like that for our goals. We like quick, tasty, and nutritious, I think. That sums us up probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you got to. Like, I mean, I love to cook, but half the time, you know, it's a battle in my household of like, what are we going to have for dinner? If it was me, I would have, you know, like just chicken and roast veg every single night and just put like a different spice on it. And I'll be happy for a few months or years. But I think it gets complicated when we're with other people. We want to have the cultural experience of a meal and such. So it gets a little bit tricky. I understand.
Yeah, definitely.
Nick, tell me, what's your favorite way to spend a non-training day or a rest day?
Well, apart from researching the information for these podcasts, what I like to do is I have a routine where I will walk with Shane to our local bakery way, way, way away called the Honey Thief. And we will get, so now people know where I live, but we will get a coffee. And so that's something that we do, and we walk our dog. I love a bit of writing. So I will write just ideas, concepts, whatever I want to write, fiction stuff, fiction ideas. And then I also like to watch a bit of Netflix. So I just cram it all into one day, and I have to be really, really careful that I am not overreaching and then doing nothing. You know, when you want to do everything and you actually end up doing nothing because you want to do absolutely everything. So millions of things that I do, because even though I live and breathe fitness and that's pretty much my whole life, I do have other interests. It's hard to remember that sometimes.
Fair one. For me right now, I guess baby George takes up a lot of my non-training energy or non-work energy, which is always a beautiful thing. But you know, Nick, you're right. Like, you know, we do have other interests outside of fitness. And for me, like, I get like obsessed about like a certain topic for a certain amount of time, and then I kind of move on to the next one. And I think I've concluded that like I'm obsessed with learning something new. And once I kind of get obsessed with that topic, I want to learn every little thing about it. And then like, it's like a bit of a fad as seasons change and I move on to the next one. Okay. So at the moment, here's a fun millennial one for you. So I'm really involved in the cryptocurrency space at the moment. So lots of technical analysis, day trading, DeFi projects. So yeah, anybody out there want to have a chat with me about the old friend of Bitcoin? that's probably how I spend a lot of my time when I'm not thinking about the challenge or fitness or training. I'm looking at financial markets and systems and how they all kind of play together, which is fun. And if anything, it's very similar to fitness in certain ways. So that's how I'm spending a lot of my time at the moment when I'm not on the challenge. Yeah.
That's cool.
The final one here, Nick, is if you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Oh, I reckon for me, I would have absolutely endless strength. So I would be someone who could lift. I'd like to be able to lift a whole building up and put it down somewhere else. So just that kind of a thing where I could just lift things. But then you think about it and it's like sometimes the challenge of gaining the strength in the first place, you know, if you're not just given it, is kind of the cool thing.
Yeah. I was going to say you already have that superpower, Nick. You already got that super strength.
I guess I already do, don't I? So, okay, then I just want to have Wi-Fi inside of myself that I could just have everywhere. That would be
really like that.
But then I guess you can pretty much get Wi-Fi anywhere as well. But then, yeah, then you would never relax. Yeah. So how about you?
Yeah. See, like I was always thinking of something like telekinesis, you know, move things with your minds. I think that'd be really, really cool. But heck, I would be happy with something like a photographic memory.
Oh, that's a good one. You already had that.
Oh, it's not great, but you know, at least some individuals where they have freaky like photographic memory, like I would love that, where you read something once, you just remember it, you see something once, you remember it, like that would be like a really cool kind of like a superpower, but like a minor superpower, you know.
No, that is a superpower. That would be perfect. The retention of information would be absolutely excellent. I think once you become a parent, it halves automatically your ability. I'm not sure, but like, yeah, I've just gotten progressively worse at retaining information the older my kids get. So hopefully I'm just giving it to them, the ability to retain information. It's leaking out of them.
Yeah. I'll happily pass that on to little baby George. That's you can take my memory. That's all right.
Exactly.
If I could plant all my memories into your head and I can just live in the new body.
Yep.
That's a little bit dark.
This is awesome.
No. I think that's every parent wants to like pass on all their knowledge into their offspring, their child.
100%. Just all the things that you, especially the things that you figured out not to worry about, if you could pass that on to your kids and have them not worry about that stuff at their age, that's something really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Well, no pressure to baby George. The Brisbane Olympics is 10 years away, so he's got a lot of bulking and a lot of training to do to get ready for that.
No pressure, Olympic
no pressure.
Olympic no pressure. Weightlifting.
Okay, Nick, let's get back into the fitness space. Let's answer some questions that have come up over the past week. The first one here is a question that you can answer. Mm-hmm. What are some signs that you're ready to commit to muscle gain? So again, what are some signs that you're ready to commit to muscle gain? Nick, what advice would you give?
Okay, so I love this question because it is a commitment. That's the thing. So muscle gain is actually a bigger commitment than fat loss. I don't know. I guess if you've got a heck of a lot of fat to lose, it's sort of a big journey, but you will get there. And then see, muscle gain doesn't really ever have an end to it. So it's a big journey. So I've sort of broken it down into a few different points. So one is food, one is training, one is your time, and one is your recovery. So with the food, you need to be willing to eat more calories, where you'll likely go through phases of even holding onto a little extra body fat. So you need to kind of be aware of that from the start. You need to sort of stop having that mentality, which I've noticed a bit on our Facebook group and you know, in the journals and things. People are starting to realize that you can't diet all year round. So muscle is expensive to build. So you've got to be able to plan for strategic blocks of time in a surplus. So you have to think that through. And the worst that you can do, and you see this a lot, if you're in the Instagram space, you see somebody doing a muscle gaining phase, but then 2 seconds later, just when they're getting somewhere, they're like, I'm doing a mini cut. And it's like, it's sort of that escape route. So you need to kind of push through that, because eventually if you push through that, your body does even out. You sort of, you know, you train hard. That's the other thing. And you and I both agree on this, Steve, we both agree that training is so important. You know how people say you can't out train a bad diet. I've come up with this other thing, and I'm sure millions of other people have said it, but just recently I've made it up. So you can't out diet bad training. So if you have trained shit and you haven't built good muscle, when you diet, you won't have it there. So it goes both ways. So yeah, you want to do that good training where you start to build that physique that then you can reveal later on. But the other thing is, what I'd like to say is you've got to celebrate, you've got to be willing to celebrate the achievements and the way that your body's looking every day, even when you are gaining muscle. It doesn't look terrible. It's not a bad thing, and it's not a thing where you have to go, eventually I'm going to shred it all down. Don't make excuses about it. Embrace it. Embrace the different lines that you start to see in your body. Embrace the different way, the shape that your body is and what's going on, because it can really only be earned through building. So that's that. The other thing is, you can't, as we were talking about before with training, you can't program hot.
So you can't go from one thing to another. So if you're not ready to commit to one program, and probably the 6 weeks is a good kind of test, you know, if you're not willing to sort of focus on things for a certain period of time without hopping around, you're probably not ready for muscle gain. Because how are you going to know, how is your body going to need to gain muscle if you do one set of bicep curls in 6 weeks and then you move on to push-ups or something? It's not going to need to adapt and actually build anything. You need to also focus. You need to be able to focus on your technique. So it might mean that you regress some movements and slow them down. So it's sort of like you have to go back to basics, and you can get a bit impatient with it. So you've got to just calm your farm, I think. The other thing is, you have to be able to commit time to it. So I know that we only have 6 weeks with you at the moment, and then we will eventually have 12 weeks. And with some people, we have years. And it does take years to get to where you want to with your physique, but that doesn't mean you can't celebrate every single day, because that's important. And also, you need to have time to prioritize your recovery, because as we know, that's within your recovery. And I'm not saying go and have ice baths or go and have saunas. You might not have time for that, but I'm talking about sleep and downtime, that kind of a thing. Just even not training every day, being a bit smarter about it, is recovery to me. I've gone through the phase of thinking that recovery is all about, a salt room. You might not be able to go into a salt lamp room. You might just be able to sit down for a minute and, you know, make sure that you're hydrated and stuff. So there are just some things. It's like, I know that people laugh at me when I say muscles are like pets, but it's like committing to getting a pet. Are you ready for it? That is what you've got to ask yourself. So ask yourself all of those questions. And if you're not ready, there's nothing wrong with that either. That's the thing, you can stay in maintenance, and it's a fine place to live as well. The end.
I like that. Yeah, and I'm with you where you can't out-train a poor diet, right?
No.
And you know, often it goes the other way where it's like, you know, you can't that's what it is. You can't out-train a poor diet, and we can't out-diet poor training. Like, you need that's to train right. hard. You need to put in the effort. You need to, and yeah, I think that's where many of us like fall short with our transformation, is that we don't train well. And if anything, people go, oh, well, you know, nutrition's 100%. I'll be like, oh, I don't know about that. I'd say training is, if anything, more important. And I would even go far to say that building muscle is harder than losing weight. And it is. It takes so much more effort. It's so much more intensity, and it's so much like just harder to build muscle than it is to lose body fat. So once you're ready to commit to the muscle gaining process, it is a process. It is a journey. You've got to commit to it, or you're just spinning your wheels and you're not really going anywhere.
Yeah, because when you diet down and you do reveal,
there's a lot of times where you might just look skinny if you haven't built that base. And to be honest, you can actually get away with being a couple of percentage points, less lean, I suppose, and look better the more muscle you've got. And that's another trick as well. The more muscular you are, the leaner you end up looking once you, you know, just have evened out, because you've just got more going on.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm.
Nick, next question here. Is can you consume chocolate and lose weight? Fair question. I like it. And this question was actually on the forum. And the answer is yes, you can consume chocolate and lose weight. For weight loss, there's no such thing as good foods or bad foods. It ultimately comes down to our energy balance, and we measure our energy through calories. So if you want to consume chocolate, you could have chocolate. We just need to be aware of the calories that come along with the chocolate. So if you were to look at, let's say, one square of chocolate, depending on which one you have, that could be, you know, up to 100 calories for one small square of chocolate. You can then choose, do you want to have one small square of chocolate being 100 calories, or do you want to have a massive bowl of lettuce, a huge salad? And then you might be like, well, either you're going to have a huge salad for 100 calories and be really full and not want to binge eat and eat all the things, or you could have that really small square of chocolate. ultimately comes down to that choice. And sometimes, you know, you can use it as a little bit of a pick me up, a little bit of a boost, be like, oh yeah, a little bit of chocolate. I really enjoy chocolate. I get to taste it. I get to, enjoy the experience of having chocolate. But then sometimes it can be counterintuitive. You know, if you are only having 1400, 1500 calories a day, that one square of chocolate, that could be, you know, a pretty significant snack of another food item, and you need to make that choice, that food volume, and what do you want to eat, small square of chocolate or a big ass salad? And sometimes that big ass salad is what's going to fill you up and make you feel better than having that small square of chocolate. Both lead to the same outcome of weight loss, but what's going to be more helpful, feeling good, feeling full, or enjoying that chocolate? The decision is really up to you.
That's very true. That's very true. There's and I think also just setting those habits about which food ultimately is going to help you towards your goal, and sort of nourish you. But yeah, exactly. Very true.
Next question here, Nick, is about coffee and caffeine. Another question that came up in the forum, and it was about coffee after training. So if someone was asking you about having a cup of coffee or some caffeine after training, what advice would you give this individual?
Well, my advice is, it comes down to my own experience, which is previously having worked a really high octane spin kind of a job where my stress levels were quite high, just simply the cortisol rushing through my body after teaching a couple of spin classes, then training. The last thing my body needed, and I'm sure a lot of people are like this because we live in such a highly stressed society now, where we actually need to work out how to calm our body down. So cortisol is our friend when we're training, but in my opinion, for me, it's better to get, you know, to start to wind down after training. So I don't want to amp myself up. Personally, it doesn't help my recovery. Now, there was a study done, but this was actually just, if you look a bit deeper into the study, it was done in highly trained cyclists, and apparently caffeine after their workout helped with their muscular recovery. So if you're someone who's not a stressed person and, you know, you want to try something and see if that helps you, then fine. But for me and a lot of other women, I think, or not just women, I think people that tend to maybe get stressed, maybe hold, fluid or fat around their stomach and just that sort of heavily cortisol area, I wouldn't have it after training. I'd be trying to wind down your body. It also depends when you train, because I'm sort of referring to, I like to train sort of mid-morning and then wind down from there. I like to do everything early morning and then wind down after about 12 o'clock. But, I don't like to amp myself up again. But I don't know, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I would say it depends on when you are training. You're right. Like post-training, we do want to kind of rest and digest. There's no point in having like caffeine after training, because we know caffeine before training is really great. It's a great ergogenic aid. But caffeine after training, straight after, okay, that might not be really helpful because we are trying to recover. We are trying to rest and digest. But if you do train at like 6 in the morning and you want to have like a lunchtime cup of coffee, I don't see any issue with that, because it technically is after training, but it's many hours after training. I do think we would face problems if we are having caffeine, immediately after. And that problem would only be that recovery side of things. I don't see us having any extra benefits or any extra, good effects that would come from having caffeine after training. Have it before, you probably boost your training session.
Yeah, but look, if it causes you too much stress to think about not having a cup of coffee after training, if it's mid-morning and you want to have a cup of coffee, then have the coffee. You know, that's the other thing. You don't want it to stress you out having, because I think I was speaking to someone on the forum who's like, oh, crap, well, then I won't have it. And it's like, I reckon she probably works a job where she probably needs a coffee. So have your coffee. You know, if that's your worst problem, then you're doing well.
Yeah. You know. You gotta have your coffee.
Have your coffee.
Your coffee.
Yeah.
Okay. The last question here is about creatine. We'll be getting lots of questions about creatine on the forum this week. So I want to kind of walk you through on how to complete a creatine load, how to complete a creatine load. So the first thing we need to understand is creatine works by saturating our muscle belly. It's not something that's time dependent. It takes some time for our body to reach saturation levels. And then once we reach saturation levels, we just need to maintain that saturation level. So there's two ways that we can achieve muscle saturation. Option number one is we can supplement 10 grams of creatine every day for a week. Then we reach saturation in a week's time. To maintain that, we have 5 grams of creatine every day to maintain those levels, and we have that indefinitely. So we have that every single day to maintain the saturation levels in our body. Option number two is we could have 5 grams every single day and we'll reach saturation in a month. And then we want to have 5 grams every day so that we can maintain those saturation levels. So essentially there's two pathways. Either we go through a loading phase for a week, taking 10 grams per day, then 5 grams to maintain, or we just start with that 5 gram maintenance and we reach saturation in a month's time. Now, some individuals get caught up where we want to take creatine as like a pre-workout. It doesn't really work like that. Creatine works over time to saturate in the muscle belly so they can do the job of creatine, which is to recycle our ATP molecules in our muscle bellies. Okay. Now, when we look at certain products, you know, creatine monohydrate is the king of all creatine. It's found in most of creatine products. The different types of creatine, they're not as effective as creatine monohydrate. Monohydrate is just the guy in the creatine world. And normally a scoop, depending on, of course, what the scoop it is, a scoop normally is about 10 grams of the standard scoop. So, you know, that would be the loading phase. And then you probably just take a half scoop to maintain. But of course, just double check your scoop that you have. Certain products like Maxine's products, such as the CreaBurn, that only has about 1.5 grams of creatine per serve. So quite low. So if you're only having one serve of CreaBurn and hoping that you are seeing the full effects of creatine, I don't feel that you're really reaching full saturation. You might be just partially saturated, enough to see some change, but it's not effective. You know, we don't see really big changes in our body. So if you are taking CreaBurn, Maxine product, I would recommend that we look at maybe 3 serves of CreaBurn a day. That would be like our 5 grams, around 5 grams, you know, 4.5 grams of creatine a day. But that could be a lot of CreaBurn. I completely understand. You know, you'd be like, Steve, geez, like, one tub of CreaBurn is only like 30 serves. I'm going to be going through like a whole tub in like a week. What the hell?
Yeah, that's like 10 days.
I know, right? So, okay, I understand that. Many of us, we would benefit from purchasing a creatine monohydrate. It's ridiculously cheap, very inexpensive. You could purchase it from the Max's range or heck, you know, covering my little Max and Maxine logo. You can go to any brand and find a creatine monohydrate. Probably the cheapest would be like a Bulk Nutrients, where you could just buy just straight up unbranded creatine monohydrate, and you can add that into like a protein powder. You know, you're going to have a protein shake, just a little scoop of creatine. You're going to have a pre-workout, a little scoop of creatine. You know, mixing it in with another drink just reminds us to have it. And look, if you're you know, you train, let's say, 6 days a week, on a Sunday you kind of forget to take your creatine, that's okay. It's not the end of the world. It's not, you know, game over. Creatine does have a washout period of about 2 weeks. That means if you cease taking creatine for you know, 3, 4, 5 days, you still have some saturation in your body, and it's just a general decline over the next 2 weeks, and even up to a month for some individuals. So, you know, if you miss out on a day, that's okay, but it's best that we, you know, get into a habit of taking it daily, 5 grams to maintain that. And, you know, we could take creatine almost indefinitely. I've been taking it probably for a good 10 years now. And maybe I'm a little bit crazy, but that's maybe not because of the creatine. Nothing wrong with creatine. We don't need to cycle on or cycle off. It does not affect our nervous system. So it's not like something that we become sensitive to or anything. It's literally a supplement that gets saturated in our muscle belly. And helps us to create energy for movement, energy for brain function, energy for our overall health. So it's overall a pretty good thing to take. So take your creatine. It'll be the best supplement that you take today and take in your life. So take your creatine.
Yeah, one of the good ones.
One of the good ones, probably the best. Okay. Mm-hmm. But look, Nick, let's wrap it up there for episode number 44 of the Challenge Weekly Show. We have flown to London and back in 44 hours. If you like this episode, let us know. You could share it on Instagram. You could leave us a review on iTunes. You could leave us a little like on places like Podbean where this is hosted, or you just check us out and share us with your friends and family. Spread the good word. We'll catch you next week for episode number 45. Take care and see you then.
Thanks, everybody. See you then.